W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The vacationing president finishes some final 2022 business, about $1.7 trillion worth of government business, and that's a trillion with a T.
President Biden signed the Omnibus Funding Bill in St. Croix. It will fund the U.S. government through September 30th, part of an end-of-the-year crunch to get things done.
CBS's Christina Ruffini there with the president.
The bill provides funding for the war in Ukraine. The White House says it also provides the highest funding level for the Violence Against Women Act and takes a long-overdue action to shore up democracy by reforming the Electoral Count Act.
Congress passed that big budget bill just before Christmas. Mr. Biden had until Friday to sign it to avoid a partial government shutdown. After a week of major schedule trouble with thousands of travelers stranded all over the country, Southwest Airlines hopes to be operating at close to normal in the next day or so. Correspondent Michael George reports it has serious reputation recovery to do.
I think I've made my last flight on Southwest. I'm going to other airlines.
And for Southwest travelers who do finally reach their destination, those who checked a bag are facing another challenge, finding lost luggage.
I was told my luggage would arrive on the next available flight that has been sent, but so far no luggage.
Coming off last weekend's monster storm all over, heavy rain is now a flooding concern in California. An instant star while still in his teens, a legendary player of soccer, has died in his homeland, age 82.
Brazil's Pelé was often called the best and greatest soccer star ever.
Rivelino, and it's Pelé! He's got it! Pelé has scored! And that is Brazil's 100th goal in the World Cup!
That one from his third and final championship in 1970. He was really the face of soccer for so many people, known for his sunny demeanor on and off the field. One teammate saying he just loved being Pelé. Peter King, CBS News.
The Coast Guard has suspended the search for four people aboard a helicopter that went down in the waters off Louisiana.
The chopper was picking up three oil rig workers when they reportedly went down. Witnesses on board the platform say they saw the chopper hit the helicopter pad, then tumble into the water.
WAFB-TV's Scotty Hunter in Baton Rouge. On the Health and Food Watch, Sunsprout Enterprises recalling alfalfa sprouts sold in three states.
15 cases of salmonella were linked to the food. The sprouts were sold to food service companies and grocery stores in Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas.
Correspondent Jim Crisula. Not many details yet, but east of Los Angeles, a Riverside, California sheriff's deputy has died after a fatal highway traffic stop. The suspect was later killed as well. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe."
Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Fields in the spring that turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And a reminder that you can listen to it later as a podcast, either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. And so thank you for listening either live or later. And so our guest for this half hour is a listener himself and reached out. And I appreciate you always your feedback. And one of the things that you thought would be a good topic, and I also think is a good topic, is sustainable agriculture. And so our guest is Tom Crofton, who is a retired carpenter, but currently a small grass-fed beef farmer. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate your new channel for us down here in Richland County.
Yeah, absolutely. So over there, where the news radio from the center is the station over there. So really appreciate being able to reach that part of the state. And so I guess let's start from the beginning, because this is obviously a big agricultural state. It's always been a big agricultural state. But what is the definition and how does it differ from other types of farming when we're talking about sustainable farming?
Okay, we have to look at the history where it used to be family farms up and down all these little valleys. We're in the Driftless area. My valley is about 5 miles long, and in the 60s, there were 55 small dairy farms here. They supported an economy of department stores, hardware stores, grocery stores in our small village. Our town, the Richland Center, hasn't grown at all in 100 years, and the population of the county has actually stayed the same. But now there's no dairy farms in our valley.
Really?
There's a few large dairy farms. And if you look around the state, we make more milk now than ever before with fewer people doing it. So you can say that's okay in terms of industrial efficiency and stuff. It's not good in terms of the local economy and way of life and all that. So I'm one of those back to the landers. I grew up in a big city and bought some land out here. We came here, there were still probably 15 or 20 dairy farms in the late 80s, and now there's none. The last barn burnt down a couple years ago, a tragic kind of fire, and everyone else has gotten old. So we grow beef, and there's a lot of retirement homes being built on all these beautiful hills. A lot of the fields are turning into weeds. And so sustainable ag is a discussion of not just how you do ag, but how you grow a rural society. And that's what I'm most interested in. And if we go back to industrial ag, back in the days of, say, when they built the Boulder Dam, they start irrigating large parts of California. I don't know if people realize it takes 1 gallon of water to grow one almond. So you got these miles and miles of almond, which was taking water out of the Colorado River, which now no longer has enough water. So that's not sustainable. So a good definition of sustainability is, what's the carrying capacity of a system? So if you talk about either a biological entity, a group, a herd or something, or you talk about a society, whatever, there's certain things you can do up to a point and then you start hurting yourself. So a small rowboat has a certain kind of capacity. If you overload it, it sinks. There's a great book written on this by Jared Diamond called Collapse, and he discusses either societal collapse or population of animals collapsing in a certain area based on overpopulation and all. And just the one-liner out of that, so good. He was teaching a university class, and they were talking about Easter Island. There used to be trees all over it, I assume palm trees. And right now, there's almost none. And one person said, what was the last person thinking? The person thinking who cut down the last tree.
Tom, we might have...
That's how you can make a canoe to get off the island, right? What are we trying to give to our next...
You broke up for just a second. And so what was that?
I'm sorry. So the question is, what are we doing to ourselves if we're wrecking our environment for our children and grandchildren? Do we break up?
No, we can hear you. I'm interested. So in the idea, just to get more of the history and the definitions down. So before there was more of these big industrialized farms in Wisconsin, would you say the original way of farming when there were so many family farms, is that considered sustainable agriculture? What was?
I think we lost him.
We've got a really bad connection. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. Well, why don't we, if you could get his phone number off air, and maybe if you just call in on the phone, that would be better than, because right now we're doing it via Zoom. And so if we can figure out quickly how to get you on the phone instead, because sometimes, I mean, this goes back to broadband, right? This is the problem, not only just with sustainable agriculture in Wisconsin, but in lots of parts of Wisconsin, the broadband internet connection is not great either. And so,
Tom, you can call us at 844-967-2789. So just give us a jingle at 844-967-2789, and then we can go over the phone instead. As you said, Kristen, broadband, this non-reliable broadband is an enormous issue for people around the state. And I think for those of us who do live in urban areas or close to urban areas, I don't know that we appreciate just how impactful that is and how limiting it is if you can't rely on your internet connection.
I think it became the most obvious during 2020 when everything was happening from home, that you couldn't do schoolwork, you couldn't do your job. Like, if you don't have a reliable internet connection and you're trying to participate and you can't do it in person, it is a huge problem. And so do we have Tom on the phone now?
No, we do not.
Oh, okay. I would say the broadband is one of the, and I feel like it's one of those things where it comes down to grants and it comes down to who's going to put the infrastructure in to make it better. Where is the money coming from? But the opportunity is hugely there. And I think there's a lot of people who would really, really benefit from it and really like it. And so I think we now have Tom on the air. And so we're going to be able to talk more about sustainable agriculture with Tom Crofton from the Driftless region. So, Tom, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
There we go. All right. So repeat what you said before when we broke up.
Well, what I was saying is that sustainable ag relates more than just agriculture. It's how you deal with the whole community and the jobs in town and all that. We used to have four or five grocery stores. Now there's not one grocery store in town. We've got a Walmart way out of town a ways, and so on and on. So those are problems, and the original farming was a very diversified thing. Now, I'm not saying everything was perfect, and it's not a question of going back to the old days, but when you raise a few chickens and a few hogs and some beef and some dairy and all that, the waste from the kitchen goes to the hogs, and the chickens run around and eat the bugs off the cattle, and all this stuff works out in an ecological system. As you break that down, turn it industrial ag, you're using chemicals and getting rid of all kinds of wildlife, and the famous silent spring of the use of DDT, getting rid of the insects and the birds and all that. Sustainable ag is talking about what are we going to do to make sure that we can continue doing what we're doing for a long time. And a lot of it has to be changing what we're doing. It's not just finding a way to do what we're doing better. It's really analyzing what the heck we're doing in the first place.
Tom, 50 years ago, was there the same pressure as there seems to be now to keep growing? Everything, at least from my understanding, is you have to get bigger. You have to have more cows. You have to get bigger and keep growing. Is that sustainable?
No, it's not. And here's the problem is that you get a tractor that's twice as big, it gets rid of one job. But are you making more money? You're not making two incomes. People, you know, I feel sorry for conventional ag folks that have $1 million worth of land, $1 million worth of equipment, spend several hundred thousand dollars a year on inputs, and make a middle-class income out of it. And that, you wonder why people are politically conservative. That would make me really conservative. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about what's a better lifestyle, I'm not talking about everyone going back to using the mules and 40 acres and all, but you can grow a lot of food locally and not be bringing it in from California. We're taking strawberries from Chile and putting them on 747s and bringing them across the world. That doesn't make any sense. We can't keep doing that.
So just so when you think about your definition, or maybe shared definition of sustainable farming, is it's as much about the methods used on the farm, and whether that's the pesticides, whether that's the machines, whether that's the size of the land. And it's that, but it's also about the larger community and what's sustainable for populations, what's sustainable to actually, give sustenance, provide local resources and food resources to communities. And so it's more about the system and its impact on an entire community than just the tactics on a farm.
Right. And then it comes down to what you're actually doing locally. Now, we have a small farm, and we're like, in a way, a laboratory. I'm not pretending that I'm the world's greatest farmer, but on 40 acres of fields, if we divide them into 40 paddocks and we let the animals go every day on a new paddock, we're solving all kinds of problems that if you had them sitting in a dirt lot, they would require machinery to bring them food and machinery to remove their waste and spread it and all that. And if we're letting them do it ourselves, we're just opening a gate and letting them in the next place. So that's one version of sustainability. Another one is when people just let their cattle out in a large field and spend all summer out there, the animals go around and pick what they like. And what they like is the stuff that's real fresh growing. So the best species that they like to eat, they'll nibble down to the ground and they leave all the weeds. And I can show you pictures of places where it's just tons of thistle and stuff and the animals are eating around them. Where we don't have any of those weeds because we clip the heads off before they go to seed. All the flowers of the weeds, we clip them off and the animals eat what they want. We get them out of there and everything regrows. So there's techniques to use, sustainable methods, to get the kind of outcome I'm talking about that don't require quite the input investments of machinery and certainly chemicals and all that.
And when we come back from break, that's actually one of the things I want to get clarity on as well, is what does grass-fed actually mean and how much better is it for us versus some of the other beef and other animal products that are full of things that are not necessarily good for us, but sometimes cheaper. And so Tom Crofton is our guest. He will still be here when we come back from the break. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer. Yeah. Here's to the farmer that loves his day in the sun. Won't sell that old half ton. Nobody knows better about a hard-earned dollar. Just tell him how far he's got to go, and he'll go farther. Here's to the farmer.
To all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Cure. Invent something new. There's no challenge in Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 33 overnight under overcast skies. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 39. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 26. A dusting of snow Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
My tractor's sexy, it really turns her on. She's always staring at me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for tuning in today. We have 3 segments left until our end of 2022 for this show. Our guest this half hour is Mr. Tom Crofton, who is a small grass-fed beef farmer, and we're talking about the benefits and why we should be supporting sustainable agriculture. And we were talking about before the systems and how it feeds communities, and it's bigger than just methods used on the farm. But we ended with some of the grazing techniques that you employ on your small grass-fed beef farm. And one of the things I always think about is how our food, especially in this country, is part of the reason we're sick. It's part of the reason we're obese. It's part of the reason that we have the health outcomes that we have because our FDA regulations and what can go into our food is much more lax than it is in a lot of other places. And one of those things is also how our meat is grown. And what is it about a sustainable agriculture methodology or mindset when, I guess, is the word growing beef? I don't know, of being a rancher, having meat or any animal really that is going to eventually be killed to eat, but is in a more sustainable way and in a way that's not actually bad for the person who's going to eat it.
There you go. I just refer you to the movie Super Size Me if you want to get that in spades. It's an incredible story. But what we've gone to is industrial ag, where we're dealing with the chemistry but not the biology so much. And specifically to answer your question, the fat of corn-fed beef is, there's a lot of it, and if you cook a hamburger from the grocery store, you have a half inch of grease in the pan. Mm-hmm. Our meat, there's just a tiny little bit, almost nothing. And the thing is, you need some fat, and that's what makes the stuff tender, so it's called marbling. And when you hang a carcass, if you cut the 13th rib, you open up what would be the T-bone. There's a picture of different grades where little white specks are on there, and that's how they grade what kind of grade your meat is. And with grass-fed, it's harder to get the marbling that makes it really tender. So the very best feed makes the very best meat, and it all works out really good. Our animals walk all over to eat. The animals in pens stand in one spot, and they eat a lot of corn. And the problem with that is that their stomachs aren't designed for corn. They're designed for grass. And so the corn is actually making them sick, almost like that guy in Super Size was getting sick from eating all that grease and fat that he was eating. And that's the issue, is really what the animals are eating. The animals will go around on the grass field and pick the parts they like. If you stand in one spot, they have to eat what you give them. And there's actually the dust from all the manure blowing around and everything like that that's making them sick in their lungs. So they're actually like on a high cholesterol diet. They're essentially getting sick while they're standing in the feedlot.
Oh, that's so interesting. So I guess, because we only have a couple more minutes before we have to let you go, but I guess as consumers, so I'm not a farmer, Jane is not a farmer, and I would imagine, as you said, there's less and less family farmers in our state, and yet I think when you hear the arguments for supporting smaller family farms, sustainable agriculture, besides cost, when it comes to these big industrial farms, because obviously that can drive down cost, but it's not necessarily helping our communities. It's not necessarily making us healthier. And so as consumers, non-farming citizens, I guess, first, how would you suggest we change our buying habits when it comes to food? And also, what is some of the legislation that could happen to support sustainable agriculture?
Yeah, I think a lot of the state's policies towards the rural area are really short-sighted, and that's a whole other conversation. But the broadband we mentioned earlier, we've got the new fiber optic a mile from our house and won't be here for a couple more years. There's issues about all that stuff. But in terms of the actual food itself, there's a lot of CSAs. There's a lot of small people that deal direct. There's the farmers markets. It's all real good. We've been, for many years, the organic movement made a lot of different alternative marketing possibilities. We're part of a co-op that sells to restaurants and even the individuals on a website called Wisconsin Grass-Fed Beef Co-op. There's Crop. Organic Valley has their Pasture Prairie, I believe it's called. All these things are all good. What I want to just explain quickly is that animals such as hogs can eat corn. Beef aren't really supposed to. All of our dairy and all of our beef could be grass-fed by small farmers and make a lot more jobs, a lot more economic activity in the rural areas and really revive. This land shouldn't be plowed up. It's too steep. And people go all the way up the hill plowing things up. We go into great detail about that, but for the most part, the choices are there. And I know that the dollars are weird, but the regular conventional farmers are fighting a commodity scene. All the money for regular farming is going to the commodity markets in the big cities. The farmers aren't making any money on this stuff. They're barely getting by.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, all right, so farmers markets, trying to buy local. I know my mom at one point, I think it's a good idea, is the opportunity to buy either a whole cow or a half a cow and then keep it in your chest freezer for the year and be able to just know exactly where that meat came from because it came from one cow and you know what farm that came from. And so opportunities like that. Is that something that your farm does?
Yeah, we share with some friends. We haven't gotten real big on it because it's kind of a hassle by itself. That's what's nice about the marketing co-op. But we sold part of an animal to a friend, charging what we would have got wholesale through the co-op, and added the local processing. There's all these small lockers around that cut things up for you and do all kinds of good things with it. And their price per pound on the average was $3.85 from hamburger to steak. And we weren't trying to, you know, take advantage of them, but that was our cost plus the local cost. And that kind of meat is $7 or $8 a pound. And I've had hamburgers in Madison are $16 for a hamburger, yeah. And I even make better ones here. That drives me crazy.
All right. Well, Tom Crofton, thank you so much for teaching us more about sustainable agriculture. Thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Bye, Ryan.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, some of our predictions might be a strong word, but at least I am going to talk about Nostradamus's predictions for next year, because it's a little bleak, so hopefully it's better than what he expected. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. On vacation in the Virgin Islands, President Biden signs a huge government spending measure.
The bill, which was passed in Congress mostly along party lines just before Christmas, includes nearly $772 billion in domestic spending. That's a roughly 6% increase over last year.
CBS's Linda Kenyon. So far, so good. This overnight for embattled Southwest Airlines, just under 40 flight cancellations for Friday compared with thousands the last few days.
Southwest Airlines says it's pre-positioned crews and planes as it anticipates a return to near-normal operations Friday.
Correspondent Michael George. Sports fans, the world at large, Brazil especially, are mourning Pelé, maybe the biggest star soccer ever had.
The sports world, the soccer world, it's the planet. You know, we're losing a legend within the game, a legend within sports. And let's not forget, you know, we're just losing a good man.
Former American soccer pro Kobe Jones. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. Listen to it as a podcast later if you missed any part of today's show. It's good background noise.
It really is.
I think so.
And look at all the things you can learn.
That's what I have a lot of people tell us. I learn a lot.
So do I.
I mean, I feel like there's certain people on these stations that we air across the Civic Media Network, Jim Santel being one of them. We just heard his commercial for Morning Cannolis on Saturdays.
He was in with us.
We've interviewed him. He helped. He helps break down some of the Supreme Court stuff for us. That is a man who I think has a lot of knowledge in his brain.
Absolutely. So many of our colleagues here.
I have to research everything before I talk about it on the show.
He's a little older than you.
But, you know, I learned so much in the preparation of bringing interesting topics to the show every day. And it's largely just following what I find interesting. And hopefully, if you're listening to the show, you also find it interesting, because that is the goal. Entertain, educate.
Couple laughs.
And, yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job.
And world peace.
And world peace. Yes, that's true. At least Wisconsin peace.
There you go.
And it's evolving. I think there's probably some more things that will change in going into next year. having the bigger, better structure for the show and having kind of knowing the first hour is going to be news and the second hour is going to be a little bit more deep dives into policy, civics, science, having experts on to explain things to us, and then still waiting for the right branding, but the fun hour, human interest hour, being the third hour.
Could be an early happy hour.
It's a very early happy hour.
Well, that's what we'll call it, the VEH.
Very, very early.
Early happy
it's
hour.
It's 5 o'clock summer hour. but yeah, and so I am certainly looking forward to 2023, but I found this, and I'm sure this is a lot of people are probably doing this because it's so
grim.
It's kind of like the Farmer's Almanac, where like, oh, it's kind of kitschy and fun just to think about what their predictions are. It could be totally off, and they miss the mark. But when they get it right with their, you know, old witchy
caterpillar predictions,
yeah, like how they come across things, it's like, oh, that was kind of fun. I mean, so far, because I made a video about this, the Farmer's Almanac prediction for our winter this year was that we were going to have a really rough winter. And if last week was any indication that that's how it's starting, they may be right this year.
Do you know what I thought when I walked out the door this morning?
When it was like 48 degrees?
Yes. And it was sunny at that point when I was coming in. Because you know who I am. The first thing I thought of was, oh, we are so going to pay for this.
This like hope, this little like strand of hope
absolutely.
That we have. Like, oh, like it was just a week. It's fine.
This is Mother Nature going, ha, sure. Think it's going to be like this for the rest of the winter. Give it 2 weeks. Whap.
All right. Well, I want to at least touch on this and then I'll get into some of the things I'm looking forward to in the news for next year. But just to remind you of how bad it could get. So what did Nostradamus think? Predict that was going to happen in 2023.
He was great at parties.
So he was, for a reminder, a 16th century astrologer, plague doctor.
Oh, fun.
He was an accused heretic at one point, and a bearded seer, he's been called. And he's been credited for foretelling the Great Fire of London, Hitler's rise to power, September 11th, and the COVID pandemic. This was like, and he's in the 16th century. So he made all these predictions.
In the 1500s.
Yes. And his predictions tend to lean towards catastrophe.
Yeah, it's rarely, everybody's going to be really happy.
But to be fair, his predictions for 2022, which we're out obviously now ending, was the rise of AI, the concurring power of cryptocurrency, and the surge of cannibalism as a response to inflation.
Excuse me.
So if you think about it, is compared to what actually happened this year, Bitcoin has gone bust. Inflation remains high, even though it's declining a little bit. But, you know, Dahmer was a hit. So there's a little something there. But the cannibalism.
That didn't happen this year.
This movie happened this year.
Oh, okay.
The hit
so
movie.
We're expanding.
I think it's a loose
to help. We're working on the behalf of Nostradamus.
It's
at this
a
point.
Loose interpretation.
Yeah.
Guy break. This was 500 years ago or something. 600 years ago. All right. So I'm just going to read this. This is from I first got sent this from New York Post, which you know. Salacious.
Bastion of journalistic excellence.
Yes. So what are his predictions for 2023? Global warming and lots of dead fish. That feels like a fair prediction at this point.
And that's happening, unfortunately, already.
And so this is the fun passage. Quote, like the sun, the head shall sear the shining sea. The Black Sea's living fish shall all but boil.
Oh,
and certain fish are definitely facing extinction. And so
our seas are not doing well.
Celia's not doing well. So this could be one that we come back and be like, well, he was right.
Kind of right about that.
The next one. He predicted that celestial fire on the royal edifice. So taken literally, this could mean a meteor is headed straight for Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
And burning down the house. Or it could mean something more metaphorical, Maybe there's going to be more Prince Harry and Meghan Markle drama. Maybe there'll be more drama in other parts of the royal family. But
why is it only the English royal family, though? There's still other royals. The Swedes have royals.
Wouldn't you say that the England's royal monarchy is still the most famous?
It's certainly the most prominent, but there are still monarchies in other countries.
That's true.
So maybe the meteor is heading towards Sweden.
It's heading towards a different castle.
Could be.
This is World War III.
Oh, great.
The world will be embroiled in 7 months great in a 7 months great war, people dead through evil. Jeez, this is so dark. I think there are other people who are also predicting that we're saying that Congressman Mike Gallagher already is saying that we're in a cold war. Obviously, things with Ukraine and Russia could escalate at any given point.
China could make moves on Taiwan.
Yeah. And so not out of the realm of possibility.
Although, unfortunately, not.
We do not want that to happen. And then the last one, the Antichrist is coming.
Oh, isn't he late?
Probably. Maybe he's already among us for all we know.
I feel like this prediction, he needs a watch because he's like way behind.
So the quote is, the Antichrist very soon annihilates the three. 27 years his war will last.
Again, Nostro, so much fun to have at parties. You always wanted to hang with Nostradamus. It was a million laughs.
It's one of those things that's, it's kind of like the Almanac. No, if you say enough stuff, some of it's going to be true.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
Especially if you say it in such a veiled way up for interpretation.
It's like reading your horoscope.
Like, that applies to me. That's totally
Of course, that totally makes sense.
Well, then, I guess some of the things I don't have any predictions. I'm not in the prediction business. I am not a futurist, whatever that actually means. Some people refer to themselves as futurists.
Okay.
I am not. But I think certainly one of the big stories will be the unfolding of the 2024 presidential election. Does DeSantis get in? Does Trump end up actually running? Does that become an unraveling of the Republican Party because Trump's going to Trump?
And if he doesn't get the nomination, that could really stir things up.
Well, because I think, God, it's how much attention, collective world attention goes towards this man is unreal. But yeah, because I think that is a real possibility of, well, we won't know who gets the nomination until 2024, but as far as who gets into the race, but the potential of Trump running, Teflon Don not actually getting charged or convicted with anything, despite all the January 6th hearings and the report that just came out and all the other, you know, lawsuits and investigations he's under. Let's say he still actually runs. Let's say he doesn't get the nomination, runs as an independent, 4 more years of Joe. You know, it's just like, it's the this is why politics is fascinating, because it is, if it wasn't so consequential to people's lives, it really is like a soap opera.
It would be a lot more fun.
But I think statewide, there's going to be big things. Obviously, we've already talked about and will continue to talk a lot about the Supreme Court election.
It's huge.
And I don't think it can be overstated how consequential this election will be. And it'll be interesting to see what voter turnout for that will be. I would be surprised if we get 3 million people vote like they did in the fall, which there's probably, I think I have it bookmarked as a potential topic of the arguments for and against separating nonpartisan and partisan races and having these spring elections versus just doing everything once a year in the fall. But that's another topic for another day. But hopefully we will get the candidates on the show. Hopefully we'll get other legal experts to explain what the difference is between someone who sits on a state Supreme Court versus, you know, just as a regular judge. What are the different kind of cases? What do they see? how do you make a decision based on, because if all four candidates get their signatures in, that's a competitive primary.
Definitely.
And so the primary will be in February, the general will be in April, but that will have huge implications for the direction of our state, both with obvious things like potential redistricting, like maybe we wouldn't have to be stuck with these maps for 10 years. The Roe versus Wade 1849 criminal abortion ban lawsuit that's could end up in the state Supreme Court. Variety of other things.
Election issues.
There's a lot of different stuff that they ends up getting put to them to make decisions on. And it's really important who sits there. I think the next one, which we'll probably be talking about as much as we're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is the state budget and how much compromise actually happens versus how much doesn't, because we are sitting on a record surplus that could go to a variety of different things. And will they or won't they be able to actually come to any kind of an agreement on how to spend that money to help the most amount of people? So that's something we'll be watching. More regionally, what happens with Milwaukee city and county budget as they just like narrowly spared cutting fire and library services for this year, but unless something changes,
there's a cliff coming.
There's a lot of people who could be in trouble if we don't figure that out. And again, have some sort of compromise. So certainly be watching that. And I think, what else am I looking forward to? Is there anything you're looking forward to? Or is anything you like story, you know, is going to happen that you feel like?
I would really just like to see our legislature actually, as you said, do something on behalf of their constituents, all their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was heartened by talking to Susan Yackey a little bit earlier in the show after they had these kind of bipartisan meetings with people from all over the state that, again, most Wisconsinites aren't nuts.
Yes.
And I find that reassuring. And hopefully we can sit together and talk about not nuts things and get things done.
I agree. My one prediction I'm going to make, which is pretty bold and maybe not the right one considering we've lost a couple games, but I think the Bucks are going to come back and we're going to win another championship.
That would be so great.
No one's better. Well, Giannis is really good this year.
He is. He's always really good.
He's always really good, but I think I'm going to channel my best Dan Schaefer. As far as Bucks and six, we're doing it again this year, and it's going to be the highlight of the year again.
That would just be a wonderful thing. It really would.
Or who knows? Maybe the Packers will actually defy all odds and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
I think there's one's more likely than the other. But
you are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 33. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour.
Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, 39. Mainly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 26. Upper 30s Saturday. Warmer on Sunday with highs in the low 40s. A dusting of snow Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. We have a whole year of content that we want to bring you. So if you have ideas for a topic or a guest or feedback, you can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. But this is our last segment of 2022. And what better way to end the year than a feel-good story from a local Wisconsin rescue and rehabilitation animal shelter. I don't know if that's exactly, but Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation typically takes one to two animals at a time. But when our guest, Jennifer Phillips, heard about an unhealthy living situation, she decided to take 47 exotic pets into her home on just a few days' notice. And that was just this month, right, Jennifer?
Yes. It was on the 21st of December.
So how's it going?
It was just before Christmas. It's busy. It's chaotic. But it's good. It's really nice. And most of the animals that came in, they're doing well. We're working on continuing pregnancy watch on a few of the species that we do have. So
it's what,
been fun.
When we say exotic or species, you know, because so often when we think of rescue shelters and organizations, we think of cats, we think of dogs, sometimes maybe other, maybe horses. But what kind of animals are you housing right now?
We took in a ferret. We took in chinchillas, hedgehogs, rabbits, a ton of guinea pigs. We have birds. It's been a wide range of animals.
So for some of the ferret, guinea pig, though, that range, do they eat the same kind of food, or are you buying all different types of food that are specific for each species?
Each species has their own food. They have different diet requirements, yeah. And a lot of them were new species for Silver Lining. The hedgehogs, the ferret, the chinchillas. We didn't have all the stuff for those yet. We did have the bunnies and the guinea pigs and the birds. But we had to go out and prepare and get all the essentials that they need. And not only do they need the pellets, but some of them have other requirements, like the hedgehogs need insects, fresh vegetables, fruits, all sorts of stuff.
So you have to buy hedgehog chow and ferret chow and guinea pig chow, and then supplement that with insects and veggies. And Jennifer, how did you develop your affinity for, let's admit it, I mean, these are odder pets, more unusual pets.
I think that's the reason why, is because there are so many humane societies out there that are designated towards cats and dogs. You know, there's plenty of resources out there for the common domestic animals. What I was seeing was very often on like Facebook and stuff, we would see all these posts about your unusual animals being found out into the wild. There's parakeets out there. There was hedgehogs being found, and people didn't have the resources or know where to turn to surrender their animals, and they were no longer able to care for them. So I just felt I needed to do something.
Absolutely. And so before you were taking a couple animals at a time, and so did all of the ones that you currently have come from one spot that was just a bad situation?
No, they, I mean, I usually was taking in a couple here and there. And we still have some of them. Some of them have been adopted out. But then the one that we took in where there was the 40 plus animals, that was all from one home.
Wow.
And that was a home in Milwaukee. They pulled over 100 animals from one home. And it ranged from having a goat and alligators and geese in the attic to them not even knowing that there was birds in the home because they had to remove so much debris and it was filthy living conditions. The ferret that I have, he's so skinny because he was eating his own feces, and it's bad. I mean, some of the cages there was just animals already deceased and not taking care of. It was bad.
That's really bad. And so now you are rehabilitating, housing these critters, but I'm assuming that you're looking for homes for them?
Yep. We've already found homes for two of the hedgehogs, several of the guinea pigs, half of the hamsters, two of the birds. So, I mean, we're working on it. We have plenty to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, so if people are interested in potentially having a different kind of pet, where can they find what's available?
If you go on to Facebook, we have a group, Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation. We have a page and a group. If you go to the page, we're constantly updating what we have available on there. You can also message us and ask. And we have their glamour shots and stuff already with their information on it. We can send that to you, and we try to keep that fairly up to date. We're working on a website right now.
I am absolutely going to check it out just to see glamour shots of hedgehogs because they are so cute. They really are adorable critters.
They really are. And the chinchillas, oh man, they're so cute.
All right. Well, Jennifer Phillips, you've definitely done your good deed, not only just for this year, but I would say for many lifetimes. And so if you are interested in checking out what's available or helping to support their operation, you can check out the Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation Facebook page. They also have a PayPal and an Amazon wish list. We will link all of that to our podcast blog for today if you would want to check that out. But Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure. Without my community support, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Absolutely. All right. Well, have a happy new year. And for us, that just about does it. It's a goodbye to 2022. We'll see you in 2023. We'll have a best of show tomorrow and a best of show on Saturday. But stick around for today for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, or the Chad Holmes Show up on WXCO in Wausau. But Jane, have a very happy New Year's Eve. I hope you make it to midnight.
Oh, me too.
All right. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Thanks for listening.
Do you remember when, and would you like to get together again? She said, I see you after school. I was shy so far. Something just slipped out of dress.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote all those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.